Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Nartrees Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. The Enlightened Eye, Qualitative Inquiry, and the Enhancement of Educational Practice is a foundational work in educational research by Elliot W. Eisner, a major figure in art education, curriculum studies, and qualitative inquiry, first published in the early 1990s and later reissued with new introductory material. The book argues that educational practice cannot be adequately understood through technical measurement alone. Eisner draws on the arts, humanities, social sciences, and Dewayne educational thought to show how classrooms, schools, teaching, and learning require forms of perception that are interpretive, contextual, and attentive to quality. The book is not a manual of procedures in a narrow methodological sense. Its purpose is broader to explain why qualitative inquiry matters, how educational connoisseurship and criticism can function as disciplined forms of understanding, and how richer descriptions of educational life can improve judgment, evaluation, and practice. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, qualitative inquiry as a way of understanding educational complexity. A central argument of the Enlightened Eye is that education is too complex to be captured fully by standardized measures, isolated variables, or purely technical research designs. Eisner does not reject scientific inquiry, but he insists that schools and classrooms are lived environments where meaning, tone, relationships, intentions, and institutional culture matter. These features often become visible only through careful observation, interpretation, and description. Qualitative inquiry, in this view, is not a weaker substitute for quantitative research. It is a different way of knowing, suited to questions about experience, judgment, and educational quality. Eisner emphasizes that researchers must learn to notice what is educationally significant, including subtle classroom interactions, the character of assignments, the feel of a school setting, and the consequences of curricular choices. The practical reasoning behind this position is clear. If research ignores the qualities that shape how students and teachers actually experience schooling, its conclusions may be precise but educationally thin. The book therefore expands the meaning of evidence in education. Secondly, educational connoisseurship as disciplined perception. One of the most distinctive contributions of the book is the concept of educational connoisseurship. Eisner adapts the idea from the arts, where a connoisseur is someone who has developed refined perception through experience, study, and comparative judgment. In education, connoisseurship means the ability to discern qualities in teaching, curriculum, school climate, and student work that a casual observer might miss. This is not mere personal preference. It requires familiarity with educational practice, sensitivity to context, and the capacity to distinguish significant features from incidental details. For example, a skilled observer may notice not only whether students answer questions correctly, but how the teacher frames inquiry, how students respond to one another, and whether the classroom invites intellectual risk. Eisner uses this idea to challenge the assumption that objectivity requires detachment from qualitative judgment. Educational expertise often depends on cultivated attention. The book argues that better perception leads to better evaluation, because one cannot judge educational quality without first learning to see it. Thirdly, educational criticism as public interpretation and evaluation. Eisner pairs connoisseurship with educational criticism, another concept drawn from the arts and humanities. If connoisseurship concerns the private capacity to perceive qualities, criticism is the public act of describing, interpreting, and evaluating them so that others can understand their significance. The critic does not merely report events. The critic renders educational situations intelligible by selecting relevant details, explaining relationships, and making warranted judgments. In the context of schooling, this might involve portraying a classroom in enough depth that readers grasp how curriculum, pedagogy, student participation, and institutional expectations interact. The value of criticism is that it makes educational life discussable. It creates a bridge between observation and practical judgment. Eisner treats this as a disciplined activity. Rather than casual commentary, descriptions must be vivid but responsible. Interpretations must be grounded in evidence, and evaluations must be connected to defensible educational values. This framework gives qualitative research a communicative purpose. It should help educators see more clearly and deliberate more intelligently. Fourthly, the arts and humanities as models for educational research. The Enlightened Eye stands out because it treats the arts and humanities not as decorative additions to research, but as sources of serious methodological insight. Eisner argues that critics, artists, historians, and ethnographers have long developed ways of attending to form, meaning, setting, and human interaction. These habits are relevant to educational research because teaching is also a purposive, situated, and expressive practice. A lesson has structure, pacing, tone, materials, and consequences, much as a work of art has organization and effect. This analogy does not mean that classrooms should be judged as artworks. Rather, it means that researchers can learn from traditions that take qualitative difference seriously. The book also broadens the forms through which knowledge may be represented. Educational understanding can be strengthened by rich description, narrative, interpretation, and critical appraisal when these are used with care. Eisner thereby challenges the narrow idea that research becomes rigorous only when it resembles laboratory science. His framework legitimizes modes of inquiry that are responsive to educational texture. Lastly, relevance and limits in light of later research traditions. Because the book emerged from a period when qualitative research in education still needed strong defense, some parts of its argument reflect the methodological debates of that era. Later developments, including mixed methods research, practitioner inquiry, design-based research, and broader acceptance of qualitative traditions, have changed the landscape. As a result, contemporary readers may find that the book spends considerable energy justifying qualitative inquiry in ways that are less necessary today. This historical context is important, but it does not reduce the value of the central ideas. Eisner remains useful because he focuses on perception, judgment, representation, and the relation between inquiry and practice rather than only on technique. His work also reminds current researchers that methodological acceptance is not the same as methodological depth. A study can be labeled qualitative while still offering thin description or weak interpretation. The enduring challenge posed by the book is whether educational researchers and practitioners can cultivate the quality of attention required to understand schooling in its full. Human complexity. In conclusion, The Enlightened Eye is best suited for graduate students in education, qualitative researchers, curriculum scholars, teacher educators, school evaluators, and practitioners who want to think more carefully about how educational quality can be perceived and described. It is also valuable for readers interested in arts-based inquiry or in the philosophical foundations of educational research. Its practical benefit lies in sharpening observation and judgment. Rather than offering a checklist of methods, it teaches readers to ask what is worth noticing, how context shapes meaning, and how evaluative claims can be made responsibly. Intellectually, the book broadens the concept of knowledge in education by showing that interpretation, description, and criticism can be disciplined forms of inquiry. Compared with many research methods texts, it stands out for its integration of art, curriculum theory, educational philosophy, and qualitative methodology. Some examples and debates reflect the period in which it was first written, and readers seeking updated procedural guidance may need companion texts. Even so, its distinctive contribution remains significant. It explains why the improvement of educational practice depends not only on better data, but also on more refined perception, richer representation, and more thoughtful public judgment. If you would like to support Elliot W. Eisner, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.